This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk in San Francisco, and I'm here with Chief Warrant Officer Leo Zappawa with a message from the U.S. Coast Guard about ocean safety.
The Coast Guard is just one piece of a greater effort, valued partnerships, and I'd like to take a little bit of time to recognize the hardworking folks the Coast Guard works with every day at the city, county, state levels in California, and of course, our federal partners. And I understand that during these difficult times with regards to COVID, a lot of folks are maintaining their mental wellness through exercise. And the majesty and the power of the ocean are oftentimes inviting places to go and see and be socially distant. Unfortunately, with these larger waves we're experiencing along the California coast, it can also be very easy to become complacent and not pay attention to what are commonly known as sneaker waves, or waves of higher magnitude that are infrequent and unexpected at a coastal area. All of us who have enjoyed time near our beautiful area beaches and seashore will see posted signs placed by local officials and when the weather is expected to be adverse. And I would ask your listeners to heed those warnings and take them very seriously. Anytime folks go out in the ocean, we encourage folks to always wear a Coast Guard-approved life jacket. The ones that are orange with retroreflective tape make it a lot easier for folks who are doing the rescuing to locate those people in distress. Unfortunately, we have also had some tragic search and rescue cases occur along the California coast. Most notably were the two search and rescue cases that occurred on the 10th of January at Pescadero Beach State Park and at Point Bonita, and a third that occurred on January 3rd at Blind Beach north of Bodega Bay. In total, five lives were lost in these cases. Very tragic. And in all of those cases, those aforementioned sneaker waves overwhelmed the folks on the beach and took them out to sea. And as we all know, anyone who's dipped a toe in the ocean here, it's very cold. It's only about 53 degrees, the water temperature. So it's very easy to go into cold water shock and end up drowning, especially in such a turbulent environment. The ocean this time of year, it almost looks like a washing machine. And although it's very beautiful to view, it's also very dangerous. I want to really convey to your listeners that although the ocean is beautiful on any day when the seas are high, folks should respect how mighty the ocean truly is. Never turn their back on the ocean when enjoying the beach or seashore on foot. If you're going out on the water, either on a surfboard, a sailboat, or powerboat, dress for that cold water environment and wear a life jacket at all times. I always recommend a Type 1, as they're designed to turn most people, even if they're unconscious, face up in the water. Finally, the Coast Guard is always hiring young men and women, and I can think of few organizations with such a rich tapestry of storied histories. 230 years of service to our nation. And we in the Coast Guard truly live the service motto of Semper Paratus, or always ready. I joined in 1996, planned on only doing 4 years, and now in the blink of an eye, it's been 25.
All righty then, we are back. Rick Tittle in studio, Sports Byline USA. It is Tuesday at 9:40. That's when we catch up with co-hosting this segment, Karen Lyle, SalesportTalk.com. Once again, SalesportTalk.com. Karen, back in studio. It's been over a year. You're looking good. How you doing?
I am doing great. I'm so glad to be able to see you in person and not be on the phone, subject to cutoffs from cell phone droppages and other things like that.
Right. And if you think about it, we've been doing this more than 2 years now, right?
Yes, it has been more than 2 years. It started April 4th in 2019.
All right. So no guests today. So if you'd like to call in, it's 1-800-878-PLAY. Since I haven't seen you, you were able to get out on that. What's the name of your boat again?
My boat is called Sandpiper. But this last weekend, I went on Eric Jones's boat, Valor. Mm. And so we went sailing on Saturday and Sunday and took groups of people. I mean, like 15 people.
Wow.
And that was an amazing thing to have that many people on the boat. You know, but everybody was vaccinated, so
that's
we all
good.
Went sailing out the Golden Gate up to Point Bonita.
How nice. I had two boats, but they both sank.
They did.
Yeah, Titanic and Lusitania. I know, it wasn't very good. So just for you, because maybe you can answer this question for me. A few times in the last few weeks, I've been like driving down the hill in the East Bay, and I see ships out there, or boats, I should say, out there. And they always seem to be in packs. And I always think, is there some sort of regatta? Is there some sort of race? Because if I was sailing, I would want to be as far away from somebody else just because I want to be, you know, on my own. But the other thing is I don't want to be bumping into anybody. So why are they all packed up?
Well, usually if you see a group of boats sailing, it's a race or a regatta. And there have been races. I mean, the yacht clubs are back organizing races, and so those are happening every weekend. But there's also this phenomenon. I mean, when we were my boat partner Michael and I were sailing during the pandemic, and there was like two boats out there in the entire bay.
Wow.
They were right next to us, and I couldn't figure out why that was. You know, because mm-hmm. here we had this whole bay. And somehow they just get attracted.
That's like when you go to a movie theater and then there's maybe three people in the theater, but someone sits next to you.
Yeah, what's with that?
That's creepy.
What's with that?
By the way, we got the two webcam shot going on here on Twitch TV as well. Search for Sports Byline. You can see Karen as well. By the way, on the Twitch stream chat, three different... bots have said want to become famous, buy followers and viewers. If you buy followers and viewers, does that really make you famous?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I remember one time when we first got Twitter here at Sports Byline, overnight we went from like 50 followers to like 10,050. And then I looked at them and they were all in Bulgaria. And so I made fun of them on the air and the next day they were all gone.
Aww.
I think people can see when it's fake. All right, back to SalesportTalk.com. What have been some of the challenges for your company during these times when you were just mostly theoretically out on the waves?
You mean for Salesport Talk?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think actually because we do an audio broadcast, it's been similar to when I'm traveling, like when I was in Europe and I was calling into the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was similar in that way. It didn't really feel different to do the show. I think what was different was that I was having to cover the pandemic effects on sailors. You know, we had, for example, if you remember, I had all those sailors that were caught in the Mediterranean and also in the Caribbean who couldn't bring their boats home to the different countries when the pandemic first broke out because all of the harbors were closed.
Mm.
And so I had someone reporting for us out in Madeira. And then we had...
Portugal?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And we had the BAP Union, which is the 379-foot tall ship that came here to the Bay Area. But it was down in Peru. And they were using the ship to care for and feed and house the first responders in areas where they didn't have housing in Peru. And Peru has really been hit hard by the pandemic. I mean, this has been a hard thing for
them. Well, yeah, as we say, like if we're not in the hospital, we really have no right to complain. But that doesn't mean that we didn't go through our own little heartbreaks. I know that you had your heart set on going to New Zealand for the America's Cup. You had gotten your approval. And that dream was stolen from you. But as I said, you know, most people had things much, much worse. But still, that was a real thing. And it sucks that you didn't get to go. So being that New Zealand brought it home, when will be the next America's Cup? Because it will be down there again, right?
Right. It'll be 4 years and I hope to go then. No COVID mm-hmm. that we have to have effects from, hopefully.
Right.
And so
be on to the next pandemic by then.
Oh, no, don't say that. Don't say that.
But for you, was it bittersweet watching it or did you kind of just accept it by saying, I didn't go, big deal. I'm just going to enjoy it.
It was a hard decision. I actually made the decision. It would have been remotely possible. I mean, I had the border permission from the government. I had the invitation from Prada and they just didn't have room for me in the quarantine. But there was this thing that said, they told me that if 7 days before I was supposed to be there, you know, for the quarantine, that if I asked for an emergency request because everybody had approved and they wanted me there, mm-hmm. that I could do it. And what happened was on that seventh day, that was the day that there was 72 hours breakout of COVID in New Zealand. And I thought, you know, I could be here in quarantine in a hotel for 14 days and then not be able to go. Mm-hmm. And so I was the one who decided not to go because I just felt like the risk was that I might not be able to actually leave the hotel and go somewhere if something happened. It was just too uncertain.
So you're saying on the seventh day thou dost rest.
Yeah, yeah. So I decided to stay here, and I think I went sailing.
Rick Tittle and Karen Lyle in studio, SalesportTalk.com, Piano Finders guest line 1-800-878-PLAY. Speaking of Piano Finders, you did us a little solid on the side. One of your clients is Nick Nurse, the head coach of the Toronto Raptors, a guy who brought the championship there, much to our chagrin here in the Bay Area, but very deserving. I had him for two segments, and it was very interesting because this is a guy who not only is a great basketball coach, but he has spent so much time in Europe as a coach, especially in England. So it was fun for me to spend basically a half hour speaking with them. So how has what's the piano business been like? I mean, I'm sure that got hit hard.
Well, so Nick, just talking about Nick in particular, is that we've actually become quite good friends. And he's a real Thelonious Monk fan. Mm-hmm. And we have a piano that we're working on obtaining, and we're having to bid for it, so it's not something that is easily won. And it's been a long saga, and so we've been talking probably every 3 or 4 days, and you know,
I've been reading
his book, which he sent me a copy of, and we've been talking about music and travel and all kinds of things. So he'll be doing a strategy or something like that, and he'll text me at like 11 o'clock at night and say, "Hey, I want to talk for a minute." And so we've been talking about music, but he's really...
It's a Thelonious Monk piano that he's after?
That's one of the things that he's looking for, yes.
Didn't you have an Elton John red piano?
That's why he called me initially. Okay. And then we got to talking about it, and it just became, no, it was Monk. That was what he has his heart set on.
How about a Little Richard or a Jerry Lee Lewis piano?
Prince would be another one. Yeah. Well, and you remember when we first started this, it was music and sports, right? Before Salesport Talk came along back in 2015, and I was taking interviews that you and Ron Barr had done with Barry Zito and Bernie Williams about music, and then making these little music and sports segments. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of interesting to have it come back into actually being music and sports again with Nick.
You know, it's funny, when I was in Greenwich, I saw the first ever clock that was made that could go out to sea and keep time. And that's because in the old days, people could tell their latitude, but they could never tell their longitude once they lost sight of land. They never knew how far east and west they were going from Europe. And it took decades to create a clock because if you think about all the levers, once the ship starts moving, the clock gets thrown off. So with that in mind, when was the first piano on a boat, putting it together?
Well, cruise ships have pianos.
Right.
And so certainly Piano Finders has been involved in obtaining pianos for cruise ships.
So do you, as a sailor, do you spit on cruise liners and mock them, or do you think it's fantastic travel?
You know, I really feel like anything on the water, no matter what size, whether it's a little dinghy or a rowboat or a kayak or a large cruise ship, is great. Because I just like being on the water. I mean, you're dealing with tides and currents and wind no matter what size the boat is. I mean, the experience is different, of course.
Right.
I mean, I can dance on a boat. So then I get to put my loves together of being on a boat with the piano and live band and dancing, right?
Just don't dance on the kayak.
I can dance on a you know, anything from 20 feet above, any keelboat. Yeah, so I usually do. I was dancing this weekend on Valor.
I always think it's amazing to me because I'm a history guy, and you know, reading these books about, you know, like maybe going back to you know, the Revolutionary War and going up to like Lake George, and they would have these shipwrights, and they go, okay, well, we have to get across the water. Well, let's just build some ships, and they start cutting down trees. And I'm like, how do you? And I would just figure, for me, I would take a bunch of logs and tie them all together and make a raft. But they actually would just like, okay, we need to build some ships now. It's just. a part of our human history, isn't it?
Right. Well, I was studying, when I was in Zanzibar, I got to go and see how they were building the dhows and using traditional methods that they've been using for thousands of years. And I found this book because I was just kind of searching all the bookstores in Zanzibar. I always like to go to bookstores wherever I am to see what's unique.
Sure.
And there was a historian from Zanzibar who was one of the local university professors or something, who had written about the early Dao history. And really, it was about reeds. They would tie the reeds together, and everything would always be sinking. So there was this whole concept that the boat is going to always have water, and it's going to be sinking, and then you
bail.
Tie it and tie it up. And so in the Dao's in Zanzibar, they do have the issue of sinking and having to pull them up and having to caulk them and things like that. So
Just know that whenever it's always going to be fascinating when you can start a sentence with, well, when I was in Zanzibar. That sounds a lot better than saying, well, when I was in San Leandro. It sounds better.
Depends on where you're from.
I guess so. Check it out online, sailsporttalk.com. Good to see you, Karen.
Good to see you.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back, y'all.